You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's madness. Madness, I tell you. Amber and Ian, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Ian Fitz ESPN is how you find him, in Ian Fitzsimmons. At Amber W Sports is how you find me, Amber Wilson. So, Ian Fitzsimmons, it is madness. We've been breaking down the madness all show long. We will continue to do so. And there's live action as well that we'll keep you updated on. So right now, Iowa State is up on Dakota State, 22-12. You've got Kentucky and Oakland battling it out. Oakland's up 31-28 right now, with a few minutes left there in the first.
Greg Campy's boys. How about Campy, man? He's still getting it done. He's been at Oakland forever.
Forever.
And just finding a way to, as a 13.5 point dog, to give the blue wave, the blue sea there, that always rolls in with Kentucky, at least a scare now. And good for them, man. Look, they can shoot it. I mean, they got three guys in the backcourt that can light it up, and that's what Campy wants to do. So
they're hanging with them.
Good for those guys. But I'll tell you this, Amber.
Not good for brackets, by the way, if that was to keep up, but it's early. But good for those guys.
Texas and Colorado State, halftime score, 27-11. Now they're starting to light it up in the first 3 minutes of the second half. It's now 29-15. This is almost as bad as what you and I were watching with UVA and the first in, with Colorado State.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday,
yeah, Virginia
night.
Basketball is Iowa football. There's been a lot of those memes the last few days, which is funny.
This game, at least they're finally starting to realize that you can put this orange object in between the orange rim with the white netting. They're starting to figure that out here in the second half between Texas and Colorado State.
Yeah, 31-17 now, Texas over Colorado State. Gonzaga leading the way over McNeese. Gonzaga up 20-12 right now. Still about 11.5 left in the first in that game. So we'll keep you updated on all of the live action. We've also been keeping you updated on the final action as well. Ian was very frustrated earlier because he believed very much in Nevada. Nevada was a 10th seed. He had them over Dayton. He even had his hard-earned money on it. Dayton a 7th seed.
55 bucks.
He was wrong.
Down the toilet. $55.
Dayton's advancing 63-60. They will see Arizona, who beat Long Beach State. Arizona, the 2 seed, Long Beach State, the 15th seed. So Dayton, Arizona there in the next round.
Here's a kicker, Amber. When it comes to that particular game, our entire crew basically was backing Nevada.
Yeah, that's a wee thing.
Listening to you. That was, but is that because
you were listening to
Ian Fitzsimmons' advice?
That game had tipped long before we all got together. I am on Samford. These are bet to your hands, please. These are the official picks. Remember, we have James Madison tomorrow, catching 6. We have Samford later tonight, plus 8.5. We bought it to 9 when we picked it on Tuesday. That number has dropped. The sharps have jumped on Buckyball and the Samford Bulldogs. It's now down to 7.5. I would buy it to 8. And then we have Texas Tech. We got it at 5. That's down to 4.5. So the public is coming in and hammering NC State. Double up to catch up money, right? As we get later on in the day, BYU losing the way they did. Ouch. Nevada losing the way they did. Ouch. Yeah, right? So, yeah. Oh, that one hurt. Now, hey, by the way, so those are bet to your hands bleed picks.
Which
Texas
kind
Tech
of coincide, by the way, with the coaches that we've had on, Amber and Ian, here.
We didn't have Bucky on. Bucky McMillan.
Oh, no, we did not. No, you're right. We did not have Bucky on.
Yeah. We had Dana Altman on, head coach at Oregon. I didn't bet Oregon.
Oregon. I thought you did.
No, personally, I did. Not till Bet to Your Hands Bleed, I did.
And I
not.
Thought, and JMU you took.
JMU I've got going Sweet 16. I'm not feeling as good about that when I looked at some of the guys kind of that are getting healthier for Duke. But anyway, but the Nevada game, if you missed it earlier, this is remarkable. This is an unbelievable bad beat. And this is the beauty and the beast of the tournament. With 7:19 to go, Nevada is up 58-39 on Dayton. They get outscored 24-2 and lose 63-30.
Mm-hmm.
They scored two more points.
63-60.
What did I say? Yeah.
63-30.
Oh, Scott, that'd
be a real asshole.
It felt like it. It felt like it. That's about what it felt like to Matlack and I. 63-60. And look, when I say they scored two more points than a dead man in the last 7 minutes and 19 seconds, that is a true statement. They scored 2 points in the last 7:19 to blow a 58-39 lead to lose 63-60. That is the madness of March, and I'm all for it. Even though it cost me $55, okay, I'm in.
So Ian bit on that and lost, clearly. I bit on everything SEC. I always have an SEC bias when I fill out my brackets. It ain't going well for me so far.
Tournaments.
So maybe there's something to be said, though, about these SEC schools beating each other up all season long. And they had, you know, one of two of the best conferences this season in college basketball. And then they get here and South Carolina falls to Oregon, which you said you didn't have Oregon. We must have both had South Carolina in that one. 87-73. Oregon's going to meet Creighton in the next round. Creighton beat Akron 77-60. You also had Mississippi State falling, and I was silly enough to take them versus Michigan State. Michigan State winning 69-51. Michigan State in control that entire game. So my SEC bias has busted my bracket,
you know,
very quickly.
Amber, when you look at playing teams in the tourney, I always look at power conferences, meaning that who are the best conferences in the regular season, not just in their tournaments, but throughout the entire course of the season, especially when the calendar turns to January. And the SEC and the Big 12 were by far the best two conferences and the deepest conferences in college basketball. So your logic is actually legit. Like, hey, man, how many coaches, and we'll talk to Scott Drew, Baylor head coach, coming up in the final hour of the program. You know, they play tomorrow as a 3 seed going up against the toothpaste school, the Colgate Red Raiders, where my brother played linebacker. I can call them the toothpaste school because, you know, we got family that went there and bled there. So, but when it comes to, and we'll ask him this. And
that gives you a pass? That gives you a pass?
I hope so.
We'll find out.
Yeah, right. Thanks. We'll see what happens in the text
time
messages.
Will
right,
tell.
Right. Yeah, a little bro may be calling and going, "Hey, dude, that ain't cool." But anyway, point is, and we'll ask him this. And we've asked, you know, Grant McCaslin, head coach of Texas Tech, who joined us on Monday. There's two trains of thought when it comes to playing in one of the toughest conferences in college basketball. You either get calloused and ready for the tournament, or it wears you down coming into the tournament. And McCaslin said he loved it. And look at Tom Izzo. Look at what Michigan State did tonight, right? I mean, they were just damn near perfect. And they played the toughest non-conference schedule of any team every year. And on short notice, they'll have those crazy play one on a Wednesday, turn around and play again on a Friday, or, well, actually it'd be Thursday, Saturday, right? And the reason that Izzo does that is to get his players mentally ready for this moment.
This.
So your logic of playing SEC teams or Big 12 teams actually makes a ton of sense.
You would think so. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. Not going well for me so far, though. Still a lot of basketball left to be played.
Well,
by the way,
I was
Oakland,
just talking about beat Mississippi State, who happens to be
an SEC school that I believed in a little too much. Oakland up right now over Kentucky. 36-33.
Look,
they're making a game of it.
Oakland.
They're making a game of it.
I fully expect Kentucky in the second half to win this game. I don't know if they're going to get. I don't know if they'll win beyond the number of 13.5. But it's kind of like, you know, like we just talked to Marcus DeMast from Illinois. That was a 1-point game against Morehead State, 39-38 at the half. And I was stunned when he told us, you know, hey, Coach Underwood was very calm at halftime. Like, look, boys, let's just go do this, 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 and this. And they did. And they actually, you know, ended up blowing out Morehead State in the second half. I don't know if Kentucky, because Campy's team is can light it up from outside, meaning Greg Campy, the head coach at Oakland. But that's one where I expect Kentucky to win, but I would not be surprised if in the last 2 or 3 minutes you're going, oh, baby, we got a one-score game here. Or a single-digit game here.
So we'll continue to keep you updated on all the madness that is March. By the way, you still have plenty of time here to fill out a bracket for the women's tournament because your men's bracket's already busted. So you might as well, if you haven't already, go ahead and participate. I mean, it's busted. I know. Listen,
yours might
I think
be.
After it's Duquesne, there was 16 million people on ESPN. That's bracket. What are we up to now with busting brackets? It's got to be. I mean, we're talking tens of millions of people at this point on ESPN. The chances are whoever is in their car listening to us speak right now, his or her bracket is busted. I just feel like statistically speaking, there's a pretty good shot of that at this point. So your men's bracket's busted. Let's go ahead and move on to the women's bracket. You still got time there. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out your bracket. It's free. It's a lot of fun. Ian and I both, of course, also have brackets for the women's tournament. We are in the ESPN Radio group. So you can join the group. You can compete directly against us. I've been getting DMs from people that have had a lot of fun doing that. So if you want to compete against me and Ian, go ahead and please do it that way. It's a fun way to do things. And then also on ESPN.com, you can click the link right there on the homepage as well. You'll see it there if you don't want to download the app. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, it is time for the NFL to shake things up, kickoff style. We'll get into that here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We have been keeping you updated on all things March Madness all show long. If you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Of course, we'll continue to keep you updated here on live action. But NFL is king, Ian, and there are some rules changes that have been proposed here by the competition committee that are pretty significant. The kickoff proposal would be the most significant on-field rule change that we've seen in the NFL in years, and it is, of course, designed to try to help in terms of player safety, but also to combat the declining rate of returns that we've seen in the kickoff game. And so to try to make things more exciting for the fan as well. And those rules are stolen directly from the XFL. It's basically, if you watch the XFL, it's the way that they were doing things on kickoff, where the kicker would continue to kick from the 35-yard line, but the other 10 players would line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. You have all these other rules about where teams can kind of set up between the 35 and 30-yard line. You can have a couple returners in a landing zone and blah, 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 yada, yada. But that's basically the precipice of what they're doing here. And if you watch the XFL, Ian, we saw it, and most people really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the call of the XFL games last year, and I'll be a part of the UFL again this year, and thrilled to be doing it. But the UFL adopted the USFL's rules, not the XFL's. USFL, led by Daryl Moose Johnston, who joined us, what, about a month ago, you know, three-time Super Bowl champion for the Dallas Cowboys and Fox NFL analyst, you know, they went with, the UFL went with their rules, which is more of a traditional kick. And, but it's almost like, I wouldn't say a punt where you can fair catch it, right? But it's you're not having as much, you know, of the running start contact, you know, even in the USFL rules, but is a more of a traditional kick, and you do have a landing zone area and all that stuff. Whereas the XFL, you're lining up 10 yards apart. Mm-hmm. And the landing zone is key, because if the ball goes out of bounds, then you're getting at the 40 on a kickoff. Mm-hmm. The 40.
It would be crazy. I mean, this is a huge
the optics as much as I studied it going into the season last year, it took about 4 or 5 weeks of the season, meaning half the year, for me to get used to this kickoff, where you have the kicker on the 35-yard line. There's nobody around him. He's on his 35, the minus 35. The other players are 10 yards apart from each other, which, in talking to Dean Blandino, our good friend here on Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio, who is the Fox rules analyst and now UFL rules analyst also, where he has the command center and they review everything, and it's so transparent. That is also something I wish the NFL would do. You and I talked to Blandino about that, about a month ago? Like, why doesn't the NFL do this? They should do this. Blandino was arguably the biggest star of the XFL last year because of the transparency we saw when it came to how reviews and, you know, mm-hmm. challenges. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Well,
that's not being proposed, by the way.
No, it's not. No,
that's not being proposed.
That ain't happening in the NFL, right? But he said, and we asked him, you know, going into last season, why that particular, you know, why you're lining them up on the 35 to whatever, or the 40 to the 30, whatever it was, 35 to 20, whatever it was, 10 yards apart and plus territory. And he said that's where the most contact happened. That's where the most collisions were happening. So what they're doing is, instead of having this massive running start, right, and battering rams coming down the field, the collisions are still happening where 90% of the collisions happened in that 10-yard span. So, but you're encouraging returns. So I get all of that. But, man, I kind of like the USFL, what the UFL has done in adopting what Darrell Johnston and those guys did. It's a more traditional-looking kick. If they do implement this new kickoff, it is going to take traditional college and pro football fans a bit of time to get used to just the optics, Amber. I mean, imagine, again, picture in your head, you have a kicker by himself on the 35-yard line. You have two lines, right? Your kick team is on the 30, on the 40, and the return team, they're lined up on the 30, on the other side of the 50, right? So the minus side. And then you have a returner back by the goal line. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. And you kick the ball, and if it lands inbounds and stays, I mean, you get it at the 25-yard line. You can return it. And by the way, 97% or 94% of kicks were returned. But if it goes 90, out of bounds.
More than 90% of kicks.
It was 94%.
Of kickoffs were returned during the XFL's two seasons.
But if it goes out of bounds, you get on the 40.
But I think that's really important what you just said, because over 90% of kickoffs were returned in the XFL for two seasons. Last season in the NFL, 21% of kickoffs were returned, which was a league low. And I know that the NFL is going to say
USFL
player
was
safety.
Like 93%, Amber. It was a very similar percentage in the USFLs and now the UFL. The optics are what traditional football fans are used to, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I know the NFL is going to say it's a player safety thing, and that's all well and good. And we do know that obviously they have a vested interest in reducing concussions and the attention that has gone there here over these last 5 years. But it's a lot about the product quality as well, and making it so that there is a reason to return these kegs. And 21%, I mean, it's just so boring. I mean, every kickoff is a touchback in the NFL. That's the problem
break.
Also. It's a bathroom break. That's the problem that the NFL is facing, that they're trying to correct as well. Booger McFarland, ESPN NFL analyst, was on the 6 p.m. SportsCenter. He said he doesn't like the proposed rule changes.
But I don't like it because as defenders, we're already playing with one hand tied behind our back already because there's so many things that we can't do. But I do understand that they're trying to make the game safer, just like they did with the kickoff, just like they did with unnecessary roughness with receivers coming across the middle. Anytime that you know if a defender or a player does X, there is a high probability that the player he does it to is going to get hurt. The NFL is going to try to change the rule. And so I like it, but I dislike it because they are handicapping the defensive players in this league, Kevin, and that's something that in a game that's already geared toward being an offensive game and we protect the quarterback at all costs is something that a lot of defenders around the league are not going to like, but I do understand it.
That's
I think
Booger
that was my mistake.
That's
him talking about the hip tackle rule. So the committee has also offered a rule that would prohibit the hip drop tackling technique. The NFLPA, whose vested interest is protecting, of course, its players and its union, but it came out with a statement yesterday vehemently opposing that proposal, saying the players oppose any attempt by the NFL to implement a rule prohibiting a swivel hip drop tackle. While the NFLPA remains committed to improvements to our game with health and safety in mind, we cannot support a rule change that causes confusion for us players, for coaches, for officials, and especially for fans. We call on the NFL again to reconsider implementing that rule. That's the rule that Booger was talking about.
Yeah, and that's one where it's also referred to as Albert Breer, who joined us about an hour ago, for people just tuning, if you are just tuning in, it's referred to as the Seahawk tackle, to avoid head-on collisions, right? Pete Carroll and the Seahawks many years ago were starting to teach this technique of more of a rugby tackle, you know, where rugby players don't wear helmets. So what do? They use their body weight in order to tackle right. guys. You wrap, squeeze, take them to the ground. That's what they're talking about. Now they're trying to outlaw it. Which way do you want it to go? You trying to outlaw concussions? You trying to outlaw the? It's a right. violent game, Amber. You can't take the violence yes. out of its core.
You cannot, and it would be too confusing to do it. And it, I mean, all of these penalties, that's not fun to watch either. Coming up next, the Oregon Ducks are on to the round of 32. We will talk to one of their stars next here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We got some live action to get you updated on across the madness. And it is madness, Ian. Also madness right now for Kentucky. The third seed Kentucky losing right now to 14th seeded Oakland, 38-33. That game is at the half. And Ian, I told you my brackets were already busted, but my brackets were busted like I chose Mississippi State to go to the next round, not Mississippi State to go all
well,
the way, right?
Busted.
Kentucky, I think Kentucky I have in the final four in a couple of my brackets. I'm going to need them to do better than this.
I think you're going to be okay. I really do. Now, do I think they will cover the 13.5? I'm not very confident in that. That was a line at tip over the Oakland Golden Grizzlies and Greg Campy's squad. They came in firing, man. Conway and the boys. I mean, my gosh. Actually, you know what? Is Gokia there? They're off the bench. He's got 21 Holy mother.
Wow.
Right off the bench. 7 of 13 from beyond the arc for Oakland. That was probably not in the Kentucky scouting report.
Right? No kidding. So, they forgot to defend him. Right.
So that's part of the madness of March where you have no idea what's going to happen. Man, Texas was up 27 to 11 at the half. And this was like a high school game. And now, over Colorado State, you've got Texas now up on Colorado State, 41-34. You got to give the Rams a lot of credit. They have battled back into this game, outscoring Texas in the second half, 23-14. And then Gonzaga on McNeese State. This game at tip on ESPN Bet, Gonzaga was only favored by 7.5.
Woo!
44-20.
20.
Yeah,
whooping
I mean, it's like, you know what? Everyone that was kind of hiking their legs on the Zags going, done. Here's a statement of we aren't done, and anybody who thought we were, there you go.
I mean, that's true. It's a statement against McNeese, but you have a point. They are absolutely
only a 7-point favorite, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and a 5-seed. Another interesting one at the half, Iowa State in a fight right now as a 2-seed against the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. 40-33 right now at the half. They were up big, and man, all of a sudden, South Dakota State hit a couple threes. Next thing you know, bam, they are right back in this game. But the biggest story of the day to me is not even losing $55 on Nevada that I had, minus one. And they were up 58-39 with 7:19 to go in the game. I'm really not holding on to this at all because they got outscored 24-2 at the end of the game and lose 63-60. To me, the feel-good story are two things. One, Duquesne.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a remarkable story. You've got LeBron James' head coach from high school and Keith Dambro, who has announced his retirement after the tournament. And they're going up against Big 12's BYU, a team that can light it up from outside. And what happens? Duquesne survives and advances and lives on. And
those LeBron shoes.
Coach Jambro.
They pulled through. They helped. Yeah. Were they wearing them?
I don't know if they were. I did not see.
Look.
But if you missed the story, folks, LeBron James sent the entire Duquesne, not just players, but coaching staff, training staff, designed King James Nike shoes, and with a message, go bleep and win, right? I mean, go get them. And then after they beat BYU, he sends out multiple tweets going, hell yeah, Duquesne, survive in advance, move on. And one of LeBron James's high school teammates that played under Coach Dambro is an assistant coach for Duquesne. I mean, and anybody who wants the automatic bids gone, well, how's Duquesne here? How is this story alive?
Why does anybody want that?
Coach Izzo was talking about it. There were articles, coming into the tournament like, with Indiana State being out, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Indiana State would have been an automatic bid. I mean, why mess with something that isn't broken? The tourney is beautiful as it is. It's a national pastime. Hell, Amber, we were talking about this during the in our pre-show meeting, and this is a remarkable stat. This is reality, folks. Employees across the country get so engrossed in watching games and filling out brackets, and then once their brackets are done, because you have all the office pools and friends pools, and how many pools are you in, Wilson?
I'm not.
Three?
I'm just in the pools here.
Oh, I thought you.
I'm just in the pools here.
I thought you put out like three brackets.
So I've just been making brackets on my own ESPN account as well. Like, I always do that, even though ESPN doesn't require me to. So I have one under Amber Wilson, which is my official one for the women's and the men's. And that's the one that ESPN knows about. And then I have several other brackets under a surname, whatever it's called.
Pseudoname?
There you go.
Pseudoname.
A fake name. Right. It's not Amber Wilson, which is like
and a she's a lawyer.
You know, that I made up. And that's like my personal bracket challenge account that I already had, that I already make the brackets on every year. So there I've made several more brackets. So that's just like in the general ESPN bracket challenge.
Well, I'm in another bracket, you know, deal with buddies of mine here in Dallas where, you know, there's actual money on the line, right? But point is,
that's intense.
Not that much money. The point is that if productivity in the workplace just plummets today and tomorrow.
Right.
Not so much next week, right? But today and tomorrow, the USA Today did a study, and they came up with that employers will cost their employees will cost their employers more than $17 billion this year in lack of production on 2 days of work, today and tomorrow, because of the madness of March. Other studies have shown that more than a third of employees watch tournament games while at work.
Right.
And a quarter of employees will miss work, taking
sick days
to go and watch the madness of March. That is why, if I were running for president, I have told you this before and I will say it again, my platform is simple. On the first 2 days of the tournament of madness, national holidays. The day after the Super Bowl, national holiday.
That I agree
with.
The
day after the national championship in college football, mandatory moving it to Saturday. College football is played on Saturdays. But if it still remains on a Monday, Tuesday, national holiday, and any title decided on a Game 7 in the National Hockey League, in Major League Baseball, or the National Basketball Association, that, too, is a national holiday. My name is Ian Fitzsimmons, and I'm running for president.
You have received my vote.
And if Matlack were doing his damn job and not watching games and following his money, he'd have had to battle him with the Republic behind me right there when I was going on that rant.
He was waiting for that. God bless America or something.
I mean, good Lord.
That was an excellent platform.
What did I just say?
A winning platform. That's a platform we could all get behind.
But here's the problem, Amber. Again, what I say about lack of attention in the workplace, we just saw it right there. Because if Matlack were doing his job, he'd have hit that damn, God bless America or something.
That's true.
Instead, he's watching his games.
Yes, we are all watching the tournament as we're working.
Now he shows up.
Like everybody else in this country. There it is. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we are going to continue to update you on all of the madness. We will continue to do our jobs while simultaneously watching all of the madness. Some of us better than others. This is ESPN Radio.
Amber.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oakland is hanging in there with Kentucky. 43-all, 16:20 to go in the game. The Golden Grizz and the Fighting Greg Campies are hanging with the Blue Sea of Kentucky. It's Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. This is why it should be a national holiday. Nobody's working. Nobody worked today.
Well, hold on. Nobody right now is working anyways, except for us. Most people aren't, right? I mean, there's like us. There's some truckers. There's people who work at hospitals.
But hey, the Knights of the Asphalt are always running, right? Well, Matlack, you're physically, but earlier, I mean, I would have expected a Battle Hymn of the Republic, and you were like focusing on your wagers. All right, come on. Thank you very much. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be more doctor's notes passed around from everywhere, from lawyers to doctor's offices, literally, right? I mean, the irony there runs deep.
Now you say it's something.
See, there you go. I mean, that's why it should be a national holiday.
They'd be on to you around here, Matlack. They'd be on to you. You'd have to find the employer who doesn't know March Madness exists and then call in sick. And I don't know who that employer is, frankly. But you're absolutely right. We were talking about how productivity drops significantly, billions of dollars.
$17 billion in 2 days.
Productivity lost here in this country, a country that is known for its work ethic, a country that is known to lean into work at all times, frankly. March Madness is the exception to the rule there, and the economy theoretically loses billions of dollars.
Your son Cullen, who is now 4, mm-hmm. in about 10 years, he is going to do what my daughters asked me this morning, and that is
skipping school.
You got it, especially my senior, right? So Rowan, I mean, God bless her. She takes after her mom. She's got a 4-2. You know, I mean, she's got senioritis right now.
I remember senioritis. I was so over it. I skipped school so much my senior year. I was a good student. I was done, man. I had checked out. I was already going to the University of Florida. Like, get out of here.
You had a month to go. Like, man, yeah. Come on. Dad, do I really? She said, Dad, it's the first day of the tournament. Come on. Mm-hmm. I've got like 5 more days that I can use up. I'm like, I can use up, right? Why does she want to use one of them today? Brackets. That's it. Mm-hmm. That was the only reason. No other.
If my son comes to me in 15 years or whatever it is, less than that, and he says, Mom, I want to skip school today for March Madness, that would be about the best reason to skip school. There's a lot of other reasons I would not be happy about. That reason, yes, I would embrace him and I'd say, okay, son, let's do it.
You know what my wife said? What do you want for lunch?
Nice.
Your ass is going to school. Me?
You're going to school.
Let's come sit down next to Dad. Come on, let's crank up the TVs. Let's watch.
Right? Wait, so your wife still packs your daughter's lunch?
No, senior year? We've talked about this.
We have talked about this.
I still make the sandwiches.
Your kids, yeah. Who are like practically grown, lunches, which is remarkable I can't believe it.
I'm a girl dad, man. I can't help it. I mean, if they were boys, I'd be like, I don't give a damn. Go get a
golly. I was a girl.
Go to the dumpster.
I was a girl.
Right. Thank you, Matt.
Like, nope.
I don't care.
I ate a cold bagel every single day in high school for lunch that I bought it. Like, we had these little windows that you could buy a bagel, and it was cold. And that mug was not toasted because they definitely weren't going to toast it for you. And I'm sure it was $5 or I'm sure they were overcharging me for this stupid bagel and this cream cheese. And I would eat that every single day for lunch in high school.
You know what?
It was gross.
You're about to get really angry with me. I promise you. And we'll get into, you know, we're going to catch up with some of the stars of the day in the NCAA tournament. Marcus Damask from Illinois, who had a triple-double, the 10th triple-double ever in the NCAA tournament, joined us earlier. We'll continue to roll in the guests coming up in just a bit. And we'll touch on some sports wagering going too far as threats have been coming in for one particular NBA head coach. We'll touch on that in a moment. But so I'm thinking about this weekend. Thawing out some, you know, making some red beans and rice, and I've got some boudin in the deep freeze. So I sat there and I'm like, all right, you know, I go in the deep freeze, and there's a Greenberg smoked turkey that I totally forgot we had from Christmas. So what do I do last night? Thaw it out just for my girls for lunch. You know what I did this morning? Sliced up a Greenberg turkey. And then I made my girls some unbelievable smoked Greenberg turkey sandwiches.
These girls are spoiled, I tell you. So are Oregon Ducks fans right now, though, because the Oregon Ducks are still dancing. Let's bring in one of their stars, and Folly Dante, kind enough to join us, the Oregon center. Big day in Folly. You added 23 points to that victory, 87-73 over the South Carolina Gamecocks. Tell me how it feels to have this first round behind you.
Man, it feels really good, you know. This is something I've been looking for for a couple of years, and then being here and be able to perform for my team and do what I want to do for them is feel great. I'm not gonna lie, feel really good. And this one is done, so we're looking forward to liking on the great next Saturday for sure.
And finally, but before we get into, you know, your career and what you mean to this team and this run you guys are on, am I weak as a dad to continue to make sandwiches for my daughter who's a senior in high school, or would you have appreciated that?
That again, sorry, I couldn't hear that part. Sorry.
I said, am I making my kids weak as a dad to continue to make them sandwiches for lunch? And she's 18 years old in high school. Is that bad, or would you appreciate that?
I'll definitely appreciate that for sure, because nothing is better than your parent cook.
Thank you. I'm catching hell around here. And Folly, thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And Folly, thank you, buddy.
That's a rabbit hole that we were going down in Folly right before you gave us a call. And Folly Dante joining us here on Amber and Ian.
Hey, and finally, you guys lost four frontline starters. You have an 8-man rotation, and here you are, Pac-12 champions and surviving, advancing yet again to the next round of the NCAA tournament. Where's this fortitude come from?
We all came to Oregon because it's a program that's always winning, and we're all about winning, so we know, like, beginning of season was not great for us because we had so many injuries. I didn't play for like 2 months. Mookie didn't play Keyshawn got hurt. So we know it's tough on, but what we're going to do is just man up and just do what we can for each other. And I believe everyone in this locker room. So we just got to play together and try to win every single game, you know. But I'm glad I have a team that really compete, and they're all about winning. You know, I can't get nothing better than that, you know.
And Folly Dante put up 23 points in 36 minutes today as the Ducks got past the Gamecocks. You mentioned there, looking ahead, you guys will take on Creighton next. I mean, how long does the high from this last in Folly, where you get to actually celebrate, hey, we beat South Carolina, we're moving on, before you start thinking about planning for Creighton? Or is that immediate? Has that already started to happen?
Oh, it's done. The celebration was in locker room. Now we just got like in the next one because, you know, it already passed. You know, feel great, yeah. But getting like keep winning is better than just celebrate this one right now. So our goal is not to just win one game or two games. So we have bigger goal than just winning right now. So I just keep reminding my team, and we just I get it, we win, but we just got to lock in for the next one.
Well, we will be watching you for the next one. And Folly Dante, Oregon Center, big win. Good luck moving forward. And Folly, thanks for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Folly. By the way, his head coach, Dana Altman, when we talked to him earlier this week, if you happen to miss it, here's Dana Altman, Oregon head coach, on what that guy you just heard means to this team.
The biggest thing is in Folly Dante. I mean, he's played so well. And, you know, he's been such a big part of our program. He's been here, but he's fought through an ACL injury. We played our first game against Georgia this year down in Vegas, and he had to have surgery again, was out 10 weeks, came back in mid-January, and is just, now that he's healthy, has just played so well.
And he went on, remember, Amber, against Arizona, Arizona. Like, hey, those Wildcats, who a lot of people I would say probably half the damn country have them going to the Final Four, right?
Yeah.
He goes down and just cracks his tailbone in the first 2 minutes of the semifinal in the Pac-12 tournament. Has to go get X-rays on his tailbone. Comes back out at halftime. They're all down, right? And then when the Folly comes back, they hold Arizona to 13 points in the first 13 minutes of the second half. That's what that guy means to the Ducks. And that Duck squad, again, Dana Altman right now, that guy you just heard from there, 8-0 in first round games in the NCAA tournament. Whatever his formula is, God bless it, man, and bathe in it.
8-0. I mean, that's remarkable. They were the 11th seed here. South Carolina was the 6th seed here. And yet, it shouldn't have been surprising that Oregon won this game. When you've got that coach at the helm, whatever his magic is, he certainly knows how to get it done there in the first round.
I'm going to guess you went SEC.
Of course I went SEC. Got killed again. Telling you, man. Some years my SEC bias really works out for me, and other years it just absolutely cremates me. And I'm fully aware of it. When I'm making my bracket picks, I'm like, SEC school, time for my SEC bias. I'm very conscious of my SEC bias and fully transparent about it. Bit me hard.
Love
here.
It.
Oregon won 87-73 over South Carolina. So now 11th seeded Oregon will take on 3rd seeded Creighton here in the next round. And you heard Nfali Dante say it. They are ready. They are already focused on the next round. The celebration's already over. Coming up next, JMU is set to battle Wisconsin tomorrow night. We speak to the man in charge. That is next here on ESPN Radio.